leading scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Greetings, Patrick Wood here for Technocracy News and Trends, editor-in-chief and founder. We're read all over the world now in virtually every country on the face of the planet. People are coming to technocracy.news to find out what's going on with technocracy. We may not see it in our country, but I'll tell you what, people in other countries see it in their own country, and they're sweating because they know they're being captured and they want to do something about it. Well, we've covered the concept of smart cities on several occasions in the pages of Technocracy News and Trends. And of course, that implies that there are smart buildings within smart cities. In fact, one of the tenets of the Green New Deal is to retrofit all buildings in America to be smart. That means embedding sensors in every conceivable location within the building, from cameras to elevator monitors to thermostats, water meters, everything. So smart building technology is racing ahead. And this article states that as one of the top trends in 2019, smart city tech is sweeping the enterprise. Digitizing buildings is a major trend currently. However, this trend comes with a new security issue. According to Frost & Sullivan's IT/OT Security Convergence for Building Technologies report. There's a link in the article to that report. The market for information technology in general and smart buildings is predicted to hit $897 million by 2022, reaching a record compound annual growth rate of 37%. And yes, that is a top trend. A smart building uses technology to create a safe and healthy environment for its occupants. It typically uses IT-aided intelligence, smart sensors, and controls for real-time dissemination of operational information for predictive analysis and diagnostics to help manage the building and maintain it at optimal levels. Systems in a smart building are typically connected to an on-site management system or an off-site cloud-based management system. These are known as Building Automation Systems, or BAS for short. Smart buildings are essential to smart cities, but as the number of such buildings increase, so does the security risk. Smart building cyber attacks can occur in a number of ways, from phishing emails to an advanced persistent threat, an industry analyst at Frost & Sullivan said. For instance, in 2016, to take the German steel mill, cyber adversaries used phishing emails to gain access to the software network. They gained access to the enterprise network and eventually penetrated the production management software. Once they got into the software, they gained access to the plant's control system, and they destroyed all human-machine interaction points. Once that was destroyed, they manipulated the blast furnace systems and caused significant operational damage. Well, smart city technology is in its early stages of growth and adoption, leaving consumers unaware of the vast amount of security threats associated with the new tech. The number of connected devices to an enterprise network is increasing phenomenally, as are the growth number of data breaches. Every single day, millions and millions of customer records and employee records are being stolen. The concern for brand reputation and impact on production environments is quite high, and increased awareness on including an IT/OT security to protect smart building equipment is rising. Well, indeed, smart buildings and smart cities are supposed to create a, quote, safe and healthy environment for their occupants. But careless security holes are drawing hackers like bees to honey. Instead of fixing the flaws, experts recommend using defensive AI systems to combat outside threats. Well, I have a great idea. Having a programming and computer software background myself, my great idea would be to go back to those original programmers that put all this together and tell them to get off their lazy keisters and make their products safe. This is not rocket science necessarily. It just takes an extra mile, but it's worth the effort, especially when the safety and comfort of people living in those buildings are concerned. Well, our next story will kind of bring a smile to your face in a perverse sort of way. There's a town in Texas by the name of Georgetown. And yes, Texas is a red state, and Georgetown traditionally has been a Trump-supporting town. Conservative, Republican. Well, my headline for this story is, Mugged by Reality, Green Energy Turns into Nightmare in Georgetown, Texas. And I wrote, Georgetown, Texas was pitched by Green New Deal ideologues on becoming a totally green city running on 100% renewable energy. As energy prices quickly went through the roof, that is for its citizens and for the city is now in full retreat and left with a huge bill that it cannot pay. And this is the fact of the matter. I have reported so many times that the economic concepts of sustainable development, whether you want to call it that or technocracy or the Green New Deal, is anathema to free enterprise and capitalism. And every time the two meet, corruption sets in and chaos rules. This is the way it is all around the world. And Georgetown, Texas has just found this out the hard way. The article states, it wasn't supposed to be this way. Georgetown, Texas, population 75,000, was to be the new poster child of the green movement. Environmental interest in Georgetown's big push to generate all of its electricity from wind and solar power was amplified by three factors. The town and its mayor were nominally Republican. Georgetown is in an oil and natural gas-rich state, and that state is deep red Texas. Former Vice President Al Gore and other climate change luminaries feted Georgetown Mayor Dale Ross, and Ross was featured prominently at renewable energy conventions last November, when the Green Dream was still in full flower. The city applied for a $1 million grant from former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's nonprofit, Bloomberg Philanthropies, and won it. Ostensibly, it will be used for energy shortage innovation and batteries. The grant's only real requirement was that the city serve as a public relations platform in Bloomberg's push to convince Americans to abandon affordable fossil fuels and switch to more costly renewable energy. Trouble started when politicians' promise of cheaper renewable energy was mugged by reality. Georgetown's electric bills went up as more wind and solar power displaced cheaper natural gas in the power portfolio of Georgetown's municipal utility. Politicians scrambled for cover, and the bloom came off. Georgetown's renewable rose. Now, largely embarrassed members of the city council are trying to figure out how to unwind the renewable mess they and their predecessors voted themselves into. With the municipal utility facing a $7 million shortfall, money that has to be made up by the city residents through higher electricity costs, the city council voted 5-1 in July to instruct the staff to figure out how to wriggle out of the Bloomberg PR deal. On August 13, just 2 weeks ago now, the council voted 5-0 to officially kill the deal. The city is also raising property taxes. The council member who asked for the vote said he wasn't opposed to renewable energy, but that in light of the city's utilities deficits, the city should focus on the basics rather than doing experiments. Indeed, there's not a single city in the contiguous 48 states that runs solely on wind and solar power. The reason is simple. Electricity gets to cities via a grid, and that grid draws us energy from a variety of sources, mostly natural gas. excluding large-scale dams, which fell out of favor with the environmental movement 50 years ago, renewables powered about 10% of the U.S. grid last year. This means that cities like Georgetown, which have contracted to take power from wind and solar farms hundreds of miles away, don't risk blackouts on windless nights because reliable power is delivered from a grid getting power from fossil fuels. As part of the Bloomberg agreement, Georgetown was going to hire a new bureaucrat to oversee the installation of solar panels on homes, while creating a battery storage farm to keep the grid energized when the sun wasn't shining and the wind wasn't blowing. But such arrangements are hardly cutting edge. In fact, the physics and economics of battery storage are well known. And here's where Georgetown's 100% renewable push merely looks like expensive virtue signaling. Moore's law governs the world of computing. The speed and capability of computers doubles every 2 years, but computers only manipulate ones and zeros. In contrast, we use energy to manipulate the physical world to cool and heat homes, to move ourselves and commerce faster and farther than we could using our feet or horses or bicycles, and to bring light to the darkness. Efficiency improvements in the natural world move more slowly and yield to diminishing returns as they reach physical limits. Well, Georgetown, Texas has learned the hard way. Don't mess with renewable energy. It drives prices up. It makes consumers very angry to have to pay higher utility bills. And especially, citizens dislike raising property taxes because the city council voted them into a mess where they incurred a deficit that could not be paid. And of course, any deficit that the city incurs, of course, is the responsibility of the citizens to pay. Well, our last story for today is kind of sad in a way because it's going to potentially create a lot of angst for citizens in Ireland. Ireland has decided that it is going to implement a gender-neutral program for the HPV vaccine so that boys can be vaccinated as well as girls. I wrote in this article, Judicial Watch exposed the scandal of Merck's Gardasil vaccine for girls and young women in 2014 as being, quote, linked to thousands of debilitating side effects, according to the government's own daunting statistics. Ireland apparently didn't get the message. According to the Judicial Watch report, quote, since 2007, Judicial Watch has been investigating the Gardasil scandal and exposed droves of government records documenting thousands of adverse reactions associated with the vaccine, including paralysis, convulsions, blindness, and dozens of deaths. Based on the records, Judicial Watch published a special report in 2008 detailing Gardasil's approval process, side effects, safety concerns, and marketing practices. Undoubtedly, it illustrates a large-scale public health experiment, close quote. Whereas Gardasil was originally only offered to young girls, it is now conceived as a gender-neutral vaccine, thus doubling its potential market. And apparently, Ireland has bought this hook, line, and sinker. The article states the HPV vaccine will be made available to first-year boys in secondary schools in Ireland for the first time from next week. Until now, boys have not been included in the free human HPV school vaccination program. Following a review by the Health Information and Quality Authority, the vaccine is being extended to all first-year secondary school students from the start of September. Since 2010, girls in the first year of secondary school have been offered a form of the cancer protection, which has now been made more effective to protect against 9 out of 10 types of HPV cancers. There is a catch-up scheme for older girls, but the parents of boys who are above first year in secondary school will have to pay for the vaccine at their general practitioner. Minister for Health Simon Harris said the decision to provide it for first-year boys only is based on the medical advice available to him. He said, quote, all the medical evidence and indeed H1QA's health technology assessment highlighted the importance of starting with boys in the first year, close quote. Minister Harris added, for other parents, if your child isn't in first year, you can still go to your GP and get the vaccine that way as well through paying for it. However, he said, he certainly does not rule out a catch-up program at a later stage. HPV is a virus that can cause a range of cancers, including cervical cancer in women and penile and anal cancer in men, as well as head and neck cancers. Around 400 cases associated with HPV are diagnosed here every year. That's in Ireland, of course. While around 100 people die as a result. Health Service Executive School vaccination teams will begin visiting secondary schools next week to offer the first of two doses of the HPV vaccine to first-year students. 60,000 information booklets and consent forms are being issued to parents in advance. The uptake rates among girls had fallen to around 50% in 2017, but have increased to around 70% since then, following an information campaign helped by HPV vaccine campaigners Laura Brennan, who died in March from cervical cancer at the age of 26. Speaking at the vaccination launch today, her brother Kevin said, Laura poured herself into this campaign, knowing every time she told her story, it had the potential to save a life. He said the increase in the uptake rate of the HPV vaccine in last year's first-year girls is bittersweet for us. We're delighted that Laura has played a part in helping to protect so many young people from HPV cancers. The director of the HSE National Immunization Office, Dr. Lucy Jessup, said she is, quote, 100% confident in the vaccine, which she said provides really good overall protection. She described the vaccine as, quote, essential to help protect your children against HPV cancers in the future. Dr. Jessup has encouraged parents to read the information from the HSE and speak to a trusted health professional if they have any questions. That is before signing the consent form for their child. Ireland now becomes just one of 20 countries around the world that have introduced a gender-neutral HPV school vaccination scheme. The former president of the National Association of General Practitioners has said the cost of an HPV vaccine for teenage boys who are not eligible for a free HSE vaccination will be exceptionally expensive. Another Dublin-based doctor said the rollout of the vaccines to boys in the first year of the secondary school is a very welcome development. Well, Ireland and those 20 other countries that have implemented a gender-neutral vaccine program for boys will find out the hard way that the vaccine comes with consequences, and the lives of the people that have taken this vaccine will potentially be permanently marked. But unfortunately, that has never been a big concern with big pharma companies, especially Merck, that push these types of vaccines. And remember also that the reason that the HPV virus spreads is because of sexual contact. This is a sexually transmitted disease, an STD, and this is not normally a virus that you pick up by casual contact with anyone. It has to be transmitted by very close physical contact. Well, if you have any friends in Ireland, you may want to write them a letter, tell them what's going on. If they know any kids of this age, tell them to stay away from the HPV vaccine for boys. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.